All right, welcome back, everyone. Are you still here, Jill?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just explaining
Okay.
to Laurie. Laurie said she hopes that I behave myself. She nearly had to bar me, and I'm trying to put all the blame on Sue Ingleton.
Yeah.
He's the comedian.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously I'm having my guest is having some Skype problems, having problems bringing her up. I might just have to bring her up on her home phone or something.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, I've just done a major cure. I've just told people a funny story in chat about this weird dream I had the other night, which I shall not be saying on air. And it was very funny. I told you about it, Stephen. Well, I wrote to you about it. Now, I haven't told anyone about it in real life, actually.
Yeah.
But this isn't real life yet. No, we won't go into it, but it's all in chat now.
Okay.
I had a problem. I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah, do go on.
Well, I just not sure. I'm gonna try again here. Trying to see if she's gonna come up. See if she'll be able to come up. Huh, okay. I'm guessing not.
Well, you're looking very. I'm just laughing at what Char says. She can't believe that I told you. She thinks it's funny, and I'm.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Well, I haven't
It
even looked at the
was a
chat
really
yet.
weird dream. Go on, keep looking for her.
I haven't even looked at the chat yet, so I don't know. I'll just see if I can call her on her home phone there. She's having all kinds of Skype problems. Okay. Her son's trying to help. What were you talking about there in the chat room, Joe? Guess I need to go back and look. Jill, talk dirty? Never.
Don't
Oh,
read it out,
goodness.
Stephen.
Okay.
It's a private conversation.
I'm not going to.
See, this is what you miss when you don't sign into people's internet radio chat, everybody. You miss the juicy stuff. Oh, Anne's busy. Oh, dear me. Now, how are we going to keep Anne perky,
I don't
hey?
know.
What are we going to do? I don't know her well enough to know what makes her happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I know the last show with Sue was a big shock. It was an absolute shock. I just don't know. I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But
Well,
I'll have
most
her back
of.
again, and she'll run amok again.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Are you there?
Hi. I'm here.
Okay, finally. After all these problems. Like 5 minutes. All right, everyone. I need to introduce my guest. I finally got him on Skype. I have Andrew and Kevin Coleman. Anne is a mother that's been fighting the family court system in Seattle's Children's Hospital in Seattle, Washington. And her son Kevin, both of them have been on previously, and they're coming on again. We're going to talk about the article that me and Ann both wrote for the U.S. Independent. So welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Why don't you go ahead and give maybe about a 5 or 10 minute recap of your story, Ann, of your life in the last 2.5 to 3 years.
Well, basically, my son was born with a rare congenital heart condition that was misdiagnosed as asthma. And basically, he had a heart attack in PE, and at that time is when we discovered this rare congenital heart condition. And from then, we just had been experiencing a nightmare, a series of false allegations and wrongful removal of my son, my daughter, from my home, from my care as a result. And he's having recurring complications to this day. There's no prognosis known for this rare congenital heart condition, so it's real important to focus on that, on my son and his health, not on the condition itself, but with the recurring complications and the rarity of it. It's just something that's serious and concerning.
Okay. You want to talk about some of the corruption you've dealt with in the last 2.5 to 3 years?
Well, you know, I think as a parent, you know, if you encounter as such as this, you know, having a child being diagnosed with a rare congenital heart condition or any complication, I think that it shouldn't be as complex as it is for me, meaning that when I go to the appropriate people, you know, such as the doctors, they dismiss it. Or a higher body of authority, the same. And so, in my opinion, yeah, I believe it is corruption because I don't understand why people are dismissing to the point where if I write a certified letter to a senator 4 times over 1.5 years, at least 4 months apart, and I don't get one response back. In fact, after 1.5 years later, I'm now getting blocked from emails. So it's just really concerning as a parent and a citizen and resident of Washington State that what do I do? You know, how do I help my son if who I'm supposed to report to is not helping me and, in fact, blocking me? And I just have to say I experienced some form of retaliation, I think, you know, by them taking him away from me and blaming me. It's just really concerning.
Well, let's just explain a little bit of what you and I both did. I asked you to kind of like write a little bit of an article. I didn't really tell you how many words, but you had almost 1,000, which is right about the normal length of an article. And I added to it about 4 paragraphs. I didn't want to add a whole lot because it would take away from possibly somebody reading what you put on there. But I titled it Munchausen Mom or Hospital Cover-Up. And I wanted to name it that. Well, my part anyways, but I kept your part, what you named it. But anyways.
I think that's a perfect name for it. That's really where this all began.
That's what it boils down to. Yeah, you've been branded a... not so much a bad mom, but you've been branded with this Munchausen by proxy syndrome.
And even though the CPS has redacted those findings from founded to unfounded a year later, I'm still experiencing what I believe is sort of a stigma that goes with being branded. I'm just not being taken seriously. And I remain in a database, a national database, as a child abuser. And the only way to extract that from a database is...
by suing.
Right.
Yeah. And you have a federal lawsuit you filed on your own, haven't you?
Yeah, and I have no choice. Any person... who experiences a false allegation like this, you're given 30 days to appeal. But the thing is that they immediately put you in a database. So while you're appealing, if it, like me, 1 year later, and it should have been, you know, done in 30 days, but they waited 1 year to do on their own to convert the founded to unfounded. But the thing is, for that 1 year, I remained in a database, and I was unable to gain employment. 9 days after my son's open heart surgery, I was released from my employer. And although it should have only taken 30 days for CPS to, when I submitted my appeal, they waited 1 year. And that was 1 year I wasn't able to gain employment. And so even though 1 year later they redacted those findings, I remain in a database forever. And so it leaves me no choice but to file a lawsuit as my only way to get that out of the database, just so I can simply get a job and take care of my son and daughter.
Yeah. Well, that's all understandable. Actually, your oldest daughter is still technically under your care until she leaves college, right?
Well, my oldest daughter will be 23. She is in college.
Right,
but
okay.
She only lives here. She's only here maybe 2 days a week.
Oh, okay.
But I have another daughter who will be 15 in July, and Kevin will be 18 in October.
October, huh?
This year.
Yeah. What will it feel like, Kevin, to be free of the Child Protective Services and Children's Church come October?
It'll feel kind of relieful knowing that CPS can't really bother me. But then there's like a new fear that since I would be an adult, that I could be like charged with weird stuff, like falsely accused of a lot of things.
Oh, and you probably will be. being familiar with your mother's case, some of that might blow back on you. Who knows? But yeah, you have 26 defendants in your federal lawsuit, Ann. The insurance company, the hospital. What are some of the parties? You don't have to name any names, but just name some of the some of the people do that you're going after. CPS workers or what? A family court, judges.
In the civil rights complaint that I filed, I did not name a judge as a defendant. However, in the contents of the lawsuit, I did name a judge and identify what resulted from them and the action of these false allegations. But basically, in the name defendants, it really all just began with one. And how it began with so many, and what I believe is just really everybody covering the other person's back. In the beginning, in the medical records for my son, it was documented by a cardiologist who maybe had one or two visits with my son, and him writing something in there as far as maternal anxiety. Now, this cardiologist met me after my son had an open heart attack and open heart surgery. And I don't even know if that's really a code, but he wrote that in the medical records. His colleague is someone who made a medical error on my son. So in 2012, my son had a heart attack. In 2011, his colleague did an echocardiogram on the basis that my son had chest pains, an abnormal EKG, and a sports physical that needed to be signed for school that the family doctor didn't want to sign on the basis that my son had a history of chest pains that he had dismissed, but when it came down to signing the sports physical, he didn't want to sign it. So when he was referred to the cardiologist in 2011, that cardiologist did a quick echocardiogram and said he's fine. 14 months later, he had a heart attack and he wasn't fine. So the colleague of that cardiologist that we only met a couple times, I feel like covered that cardiologist's back. You know, they're in the same company, same office, and to pretty much blame me. And redirecting, you know, the attention from that misdiagnosis to me defending myself. And I feel like that just snowballed. They involved, you know, other doctors in CPS and family law, you know, an ex-family member with that history of domestic violence. And that's really how it got to be, I feel, you know, to be so many, 26, by involving different organizations, you know, family court, CPS, DSHS, family care doctor.
Well, it seems like a lot of them are in collusion. Turn my microphone down a little bit so it won't echo so much, maybe. It almost seems like a lot of them are in collusion together, aren't they, Ann?
Inclusion?
In a collusion.
Yes.
You know, they're in cahoots with each other, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. The main insurance company you work for, right? The insurance company that you filed along with the other 25 defendants? Didn't you work for that insurance company?
Well, no. There's not an insurance company name. There's one major healthcare organization in Tacoma, Washington, and one in Seattle, Washington. I named doctors out of each of those organizations. I do want to say that I discovered that each of these organizations have a long history of claiming families have Munchausen, and the highest statistic in the whole state of Washington, and from what I know, even nationally. And so I'm just concerned because in my experience, I look at, in our situation, that the claim of Munchausen is really a cover-up for a misdiagnosis. So the idea of having this major healthcare organization in Tacoma and Seattle having the highest number of Munchausen claims may really mean they have the highest number of misdiagnoses and medical errors.
Yeah, that's why.
And so in my lawsuit, I feel this is an opportunity for them to have accountability, because even if there's no accountability, what is there to be careful in make, you know, and not have these kind of errors and thinking that it's okay to just, you know, involve other agencies and.
Yeah. Well, that's why I named it that, you know, Munchausen mom or hospital cover up, because it does seem, They are just attacking you and covering up what happened to Kevin. The misdiagnosis, the prolonged pain and suffering from Kevin, and then the eventual heart attack at the age of 16. I mean, how many 16-year-olds have heart attacks? Not too many of them.
Yeah, and, I think technically he was 15 and a half.
Was he 15? Okay.
That's close.
He wasn't enough. Even 16 then. Okay. I mean, that's even worse.
Yeah. you know, Stephen, one thing that I was thinking is this. If Seattle and Tacoma, these two major healthcare organizations, have the highest number of Munchausen cases in the state of Washington and nationally, then my question is, why hasn't the media or the public ever heard of this?
Yeah.
How is it being kept quiet? Well, I can't imagine what we have experienced not ever.
Like I said, there's a conspiracy.
There's the
conspiracy. And instead of taking responsibility for something that medical staff did wrong, either negligently or on purpose, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be on purpose or not. It just could be an accident. Like, who knows? He had bad days whenever he checked Kevin out, and he just didn't really care about it. He just went through the motions, and Kevin suffered for it. So instead of taking responsibility, they will attack you and call you a name, put a stigma on you for however long it's going to be there.
And it really saddens me, because I feel that our story is not about an incident where a doctor just made a mistake one day. You know, 2009, I went to the doctor with my mom and my family because, you know, he was beginning to sleep more, you know, 16, 20 hours a day, beginning to be absent more, you know, about 40 times a year. And I just came right out and said, is this academically related? Behavioral related or medically? What could be wrong? In addition, he had an abnormal EKG, visits to the ear with chest pain. I was wondering if all that was related. And I myself take medicine for my heart, and it's not hereditary what my son has. Mine is for blood pressure, but it's the idea that I felt that there was enough there, you know, family history, his symptoms, that the doctor should have been concerned, but the primary care would not give us a referral to a cardiologist. We had managed care insurance, and as a parent, there was nothing I could do. That was 2009, and that continued to 2010. Same symptoms, visits to the ER. But when 2011 came, the family doctor, when we said, hey, you know, he wants to be in track, and the school wants the sports physical filled out. Can you fill it out? Primary care said, no, you know, he has a history of chest pain. I want him to go to a cardiologist and then have them sign it. And I do want to say, to this day, 2014, this very same family doctor has refused to give us medical records. And I have made about 3 or 4 requests, certified mail. The very first request we asked for medical records was August 2012. And he didn't go to CPS until November. So why wouldn't they give us the medical records in August? And the only reason I was even asking, because he had a heart attack and open heart surgery. And, you know, I knew, you know, 2 more years he'd be 18. I thought those were important records he should have for life. So I had good intentions for asking for him. But the primary care doctor is withholding them. So that's concerning. And so, and it's unfortunate that in this lawsuit, it may be the only way I might get him. I have to file a motion to compel.
Yeah, no, I guess one of the original reasons why you wanted to come on tonight and why I wanted to bring you on is, well, there's 2 reasons. The first is the article that I published in U.S. Independent, Suzanne's online publication. And the second is, we want to put a plea out there for a lawyer. Yes. Nobody in your area will touch your case. They've all, I don't know whether you've been blackballed up there or whether they're just afraid of too many of the defendants that you have named in your suit.
Thank you, Stephen. Yes, that's really what we need. We need an attorney. We need probably many attorneys. We need a huge legal defense. And I do want to say that while being falsely accused, you know, I felt that I did everything appropriate. However, I felt that I was blocked. And as far as trying to retain legal counsel, well, for one, I was released from employment 9 days after my son's heart attack in July. He went into CPS November. But when I went to a low-income clinic, what's really concerning about this is that the vice president of the major healthcare organization in Tacoma sits as on that low-income clinic on the board. So I sort of feel like there's a fox there guarding the hen house. So if a low-income person goes to the hospital and is falsely accused and they go to these low-income clinics, it's guarded by the people that falsely accused them. And then the director is the vice president of the Bar Association. And so over 100 attorneys in Washington State I have called. And 90% of them, I never even met them. I don't even know them. And they all deny me on the basis there's a conflict. And I do have emails from one attorney who finally did accept me. He never wanted to go to court. And when the opposing counsel sent emails saying, you know, they had conversations, I was included. He goes as far as to say, now this is the attorney I retain, that he doesn't want to on the basis of sharks and orcas in my case. Now, I was in family law.
Can you get him from defamation, Anne?
What you mean, slander?
The doctors?
Yeah.
I'm...
Of course.
My son says, of course.
Mm. So there's a suggestion, a private suggestion, that you need to send her a fee schedule for them, a fee schedule for defamation, followed by a bill.
A bill? Oh, a law?
I don't know. You'll have to tell me who's sending me this message. What do you mean followed by a bill? But anyway, they have defamed you, and you that is true. They've definitely defamed you by saying that you have Munchausen's by proxy,
yes,
and putting all these different labels on you. And
yes,
if you were to do the same to them, you know, I mean, absolutely would they bloody go you like a Mallee bull, you know, a Mallee bull. The Mallee's somewhere out in the middle of nowhere here, but like a wild bull, in other words, a strong bull. So the thing is, they have defamed you, and they've made up all these stories about you, and in sort of professional terminology, it's called all sorts of names, but one of them is pathologizing. You know, they're labeling you as having a pathology, rather than actually having a true recognition of the situation.
Absolutely. It's a label, like you said. It's just an attack on Anne instead of addressing what the real problem is.
Yeah, so let me finish. I'll interrupt or whatever it is that I'm doing. The bill is for damages. So you actually sue them for defamation, and then you tell them how much the damages are. And Dean Tong would be good at helping you with that, surely. He'd love to do something like that, wouldn't he?
Well, there's been changes with Dean Tong.
Okay. Well, doesn't really matter. A bill for damages would be a good idea. A counter-suing is probably a bloody good idea. So a fee schedule for defamation and then a bill for damages.
I agree. So although I myself have written 100 pages of a civil rights complaint for 26 defendants, I'm really asking for an attorney to make sure that I can get, as you're saying, when it comes time to settling, if I settle or go all the way, I really would like to have an attorney to look at that, to make sure that is included in the writing, in the final judgment.
You want an attorney to look at it to see whether, look, the less paper, the shorter the less they have to read, the cheaper it's going to be. You know, I mean, if you can just get it in a few sort of major slam points, you know, just a few aces wouldn't hurt, would it? I mean, they have defamed you. They've agreed you've got Munchausen's by proxy, which you didn't have. You now have a psychologist report that said you did not have Munchausen's by proxy. And you have evidence that your son has a genuine heart condition. So, you know, I mean, really, it's time to slam him.
And, you know, there's a couple things here.
That's why she's here,
really,
Jill.
Contradicting. If you present a finding to a person, and at the same time you're saying, hey, you have 30 days, you can appeal this, but we're going to put you in a database right now. And even if that appeal comes out unfounded, that you remain in that database, and the only way to come out of it is to file a lawsuit. So I just feel that whether you're founded or unfounded, you're in it forever. And so all I really want to do is we want to go on with our lives, and I need to work, and that's never going to happen unless I'm removed from this database. But, and as long as I remain in there, I'm concerned about the effects it has on my son when he has complications, or, if it's being taken seriously in some way, even though they redacted that finding, the label is still there. Yeah.
Well,
and I agree with what you
said.
There's
no such thing as forever. Things change depending upon what we do, don't they? So, well, I mean, what you do next is going to define, you know, you can, it's like a lever on a railway track. It depends, you know, and you've got hundreds of levers. You just got to work out which levers to pull.
I'm trying to pull my name out of the database.
Yeah, well, you can't pull your name out of the database, probably. I reckon you should just supersede it by proving them wrong, don't you?
She should be able to. She should be able to. Convicted.
They've proven themselves wrong. They redacted the findings on their own without even a trial.
Jill, convicted child molesters have gotten their name off of the database when they've gotten their name cleared.
Oh, okay. So convicted murderers have too. And this advises, says, just don't get stuck in an attorney mindset, and they'll take it out. They will take it out of the database once you sue for damages, which you can do yourself. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
That's what she is doing herself, Jill.
I did. Oh, on April 10th, 2014, I filed a civil rights complaint, including the defamation of character, as you're speaking, in my lawsuit. You know, one thing I'm concerned about, it's May 21st, and the defendants haven't been served. And I also filed I attached with my lawsuit sort of a declaration in January 2014 in the family law court. I was declared indigent. So the commissioner signed that, and I attached it to the federal law court, and I asked for the motion. I filed a motion for the marshals to serve and to have the $400 filing fee waived because I'm indigent. And that was April 10th. And since April 10th, the only thing that's happened is they've decided after 2 weeks to change the judge that was first named. So they did take action on my case, but that's it. They're, I guess, claiming that they're so busy they can't get to it. And, you know, even though my lawsuit was filed April 10th, I do want to say 3 days before that, little did I know, there was another lawsuit filed in the same town, Tacoma, Washington, same court, against the same defendants. A 20-year-old woman, it's in the Tacoma News Tribune, a 20-year-old woman filed a lawsuit with an attorney and some of the same defendants, just 3 days apart.
Right, so they're holding up the paperwork. So that's probably a good sign that they're scared.
I don't know if they're just, I mean, sure, I feel that in my case they're holding it up, but I think that says a lot. You know, when you have two lawsuits filed three days apart against the same defendants, I think my lawsuit is, it is serious, but it should be taken seriously and not taken this long.
Yeah, it is very concerning, but it's also sort of seems to be quite sort of I was going to use the word indicative, but that's the important thing. It's like a flag, isn't it?
Well, I'm 3 months behind in my mortgage. My unemployment ended in December. I'm 3 months behind in my mortgage. I already have a notice that foreclosure begins May 30th. I've already had my only vehicle taken away in January. And so the longer this takes, we shouldn't have to lose my home and my car because of their delay.
Well, there's a couple of things that you have to do. I mean, you're paying something on the mortgage, aren't you?
No. So I had a really good job. And in May 2012, I had an employee evaluation.
Hang on a minute. Stephen.
Yes?
I believe you. I know where you're going. And Stephen, tell her about the official offer, please.
I have. And I wanted somebody to come on to help explain it better.
Well, I'll explain it.
How much of an income are you getting, Anne?
Just let me say, Anne, so long as you're actually paying something on the mortgage, then you're showing you have an intention to maintain the contract.
One penny in 3 months.
Well, the thing is, you're going to have to give them $2 or $5. And then you're not in breach of contract. Pay as much as you possibly
can.
They
won't take it. I tried to pay them half of it.
And they have to. Otherwise,
you have to
they're
send it to them.
Otherwise,
they mailed it back.
Otherwise,
well, keep a copy. Go on, Stephen. Say what you have to say.
if they're refusing it, if they won't take it, if they say something like, this isn't acceptable, then they're just crying about what you're trying to send them. But they have to accept it. You have to send it back. You can send them $20 a month back or $20 a week back. You're showing intent. That's what I tried to explain to you earlier with that video. I don't know if you took a look at that video or not.
I mailed it to them, Stephen. Yes, I mailed half the mortgage amount.
And they probably mailed it back and said, this is unacceptable, right?
Well, then send it back to them
again. Send it back to them and said, this is...
the very same envelope after you've taken a photograph of the envelope.
Tell them in writing you're actually renegotiating the contract. This is what you're prepared to pay, whether it's $100 a month or whatever it happens to be. They cannot refuse it in a court of law. If they do, your mortgage can be set free and clear from you.
Well, can you put it into the bank account?
The bottom line is that no parent should be experiencing this.
No, there isn't.
Forget the complaining.
Yeah.
Just take control.
Well, she's not complaining, Jill. She's just...
No, I know, but it is. She's saying the bottom line is she shouldn't be treated like this. And no. I'm saying the bottom line is keep a roof over your head.
No, it's not just about being treated like that. What I'm trying to say is that about 10 days ago, I was in the ER with my son. So the focus should be on with my son's, caring for him with his recurring complications for a condition that is so rare that prognosis is unknown. And my attention is being diverted with things that are related to the false allegations. And so the sooner that I can get into this complaint, my lawsuit, the better. For example, recurring complications. Sure.
There's sort of, if you've got an emergency, right? In an emergency, you have to do emergency measures first. Like you stop the bleeding and, say somebody gets hit by a truck in the middle of the highway.
She worked at a hospital, Jill. She knows all about that.
So you know what to do. The first thing is you stop the other traffic and you protect the person that's on the ground and you stop the blood flow or something like that. Like, I'm just making this up as a scenario. You're being attacked by something. You stop the attack. One of your biggest dangers is in this situation is of losing your house, right? And then things will look even worse than they look now. So you do need, before anything else, is to keep the roof over your children's head, particularly you have a younger child. So the very first thing I would do today is I would be sending money to the mortgage people. $5, I don't care what it is, with a letter attached. I've sent you money before, you've sent it back to me. Even if you've had to spend it on something else, say, unfortunately, I want you to note in your records that you did return this to sender, and I want you to accept this offer, and then find the law that says you have to legally take this offer. There'll be a law that says that they have to accept it. And I wouldn't even talk about renegotiating it at the moment. You can say that in your neck, or maybe you can. But
no, you don't even have to say renegotiating.
No, you just say, this is what I have to offer.
This is what I'm prepared to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all
that, do that first, because I'm starting to get worried for you.
Well, Jillian, I really appreciate what you're saying, and I will do what you're saying again, meaning that I have done it and I'll do it again. But what I was trying to say was that I wasn't just complaining. I was concerned about all the time that has to be spent in that area when in the last 2 weeks, my son has had his heart shocked back from about 220 to 250 having SVT. To me, in my heart, that's paramount, although a house is important, but my son's life, I feel, is more important. And what concerns me is that on one hand, the doctors who at first said, there was nothing wrong with him are now saying they want him to have a surgery, a catheter ablation. Well, one thing I'd like to have is the medical records from the family doctor. Imagine this. If I can't get the medical records from the family doctor after 4 certified letters with me and my son signing, with my son here. What if something, you know, happens from that surgery? I mean, will I ever get the records then? I would like to get those records. And, you know, I just feel that if this surgery is so important, then there's things that need to be done beforehand. And I can't do that if I'm spending all my time, you know, writing letters on the mortgage. But I certainly do everything you need to. But that's why getting an attorney would be helpful, because then the attorney can fight the battles. Well, I shouldn't say fight the battles, but can help us. Because all of this is related to the false allegations.
Mm. Okay. Look, it seems to me that there's no such thing, and I'm not saying this to you individually. I have to say this to myself and to my sisters and to everybody else. There's no such thing as all the time and always. You know, like, in fact, one of my dear sister said to me the other day, you always do that. And I said, you can't say I always do that, because I don't always do it. I sometimes do it, or whatever it is. You can do 3 or 4 things at once. Just today, you can actually send off the mortgage. You can do that in, you know, 20 minutes. You can probably pay the mortgage. And then you can also, it seems that you want an attorney, and that seems to me to be one of your focuses for today. And so is that true? Are you hoping that someone will come along and help you? Or
I think, yes, it's true. Yeah. Everything that you're saying, I appreciate.
Oh, thanks for being so polite. So you need to do that too, but try and not to get overwhelmed by just the one thing, because that's what we do. We get in a vortex of being overwhelmed by something. And I mean, by that I mean is try and cover all bases, because, you know, in counselling, if you have somebody in an emergency, that's one of the few times where you can actually take control of them. Like, that's what you're taught as a counsellor, is when somebody, basically a job for a counsellor is to empower the person to make their own decisions. But when somebody is in a crisis, it's called crisis counselling, that's when you actually take over. And in a way, you're sort of in a bit of a crisis. So in a way, I'd sort of like to take over a little bit. And I'd like to tell you, get in your official offer today, because that even though you're saying that you're focusing on your son,
I'm prioritizing. I, you know, when I say focus, it's not as if I'm not being responsible in the other areas of my life.
And,
I am.
Yes, but think about it this way. Okay, you're prioritizing, but also in the back of your mind, you're worrying about your home too. And if you can take care of this, and okay, let's say you've already sent them one letter and one check, and they sent it back to you, said it wasn't acceptable. All right, just fine. Just sit back down at your table, write them another check, and write them an official offer letter, and send it back to them. If they send it back to you again, just put a sticker and put a stamp right back on it and send it, and tell them that this is what you are prepared to offer.
Okay.
If they keep sending it back to you and keep threatening that they're going to take your home, all you have to do is, when the court date comes, you have all these letters. And I know you like to keep documentation. You have all these letters. The judge is going to look at it, and he's going to see that you're showing intent, and he will rule in your favor.
Stephen Trott.
Yes, I agree. You're both right. I was just trying to just show an example. It wasn't as if, you know, I'm stressing over it.
You need to stress over it. You need to do something about it, Anne. This is why we've jumped on it.
Yeah, I am. And but it was just an example to show the effects of what can happen when falsely accused and when not able to get an attorney. It sort of interferes with my ability to just focus on what I should, and that just should be my family and my children. All of these other things that are related to false allegations shouldn't consume me, but I will do as you each say. Thank you.
I see what you're saying. What you're saying is it's a shame you've got all these other problems as well, because not only compounded with the fact that the doctors are giving misdiagnoses and things like that, you have the problem that you can't get even the mortgage companies being stupid or difficult. So you've got so many things that are being difficult. My son has this fantastic thing that he taught me. I hate being a pathetic mother sometimes. And he said, Mum, this is years ago when I was having some issue. He said, Mum, life's like a game of soccer. You have to take control of the ball. And it's true. Sometimes, you know, you can't kick every goal, but you do have to take control of the ball. And you've got to take control of many balls in this situation by the look of it. And one of the balls you have to take control of is your house. And the other one is that they're defaming your name. And another one is, your son. And have they agreed to give your son a second doctor, a second opinion yet?
Have they given us a second opinion? In the cardiologist that had him, it is written in a letter that he was allowed to have a second opinion, but then that cardiologist terminated his care, my son's care. That was the same cardiologist who was connected to the false allegation. So,
oh yeah, when did that happen? We've only got 8 minutes left, I think. Well, I have anyway. When did that happen? When did the cardiologist terminate your son's care?
I'm going to say around June 2013.
But didn't... Isn't,
and we had to get it done. And that was the same office. In that office, the cardiologist who terminated his care was the same cardiologist in that office who recommended him to have the surgery.
It's bloody annoying, isn't it? It reminds me of when you go to the school and you complain. I went to the school. My son got kicked in the shins by a school teacher. And I went to the school and said, hang on a minute, your teacher's just kicked my son in the shins. And they just closed ranks. And my son ended up getting expelled. This is my first son. This is before I learned how to handle them. What I should have done was I should have actually just gone to the police and charged him for assault. But you think you can solve the problems of the system within the system, but the system actually will close ranks around you. And this is sort of what's happening with you with the hospital. You've gone to the into the medical system to complain about aspects of the medical system.
That's true.
They're closing ranks around you.
They're protecting each other. Yep.
Yeah. It's a club. Dog eat dog.
Well, you don't have to get so solemn there, Jill, but.
But it is a serious situation.
It is.
Sorry,
it is.
My voice does sound solemn sometimes. I'm sorry.
No, but you need to take one situation at a time, and you can relieve some pressure off of your back and off your mind. If you can get this mortgage taken care of, and you can do this with all your bills, you can do it with your utilities, you can do it with your internet bill, which is also tied into your phone bill, right?
Yes.
Yes, all these bills can be done this way. I know for a fact, because I had a bankruptcy lawyer tell me. But do you have anything to say here in the next couple minutes then, Jill? You want to add something else, or? Jill?
Yeah, well, I've got this sort of secret advisor here who's said a few things that I can read out. He says, she's wasting her time. She needs to send them a fee schedule for defamation followed by a bill, which is the first bit of advice, a bill for damages. They'll take it off the database. Don't get stuck in the attorney mindset. Do the official offer on the mortgage.
We need to get together after this and talk more about it, Jill. All right?
Oh, I see. It's wind-up time. Well, anyway, all right then.
Yeah. Kevin's here too, but...
I know. He's been so talkative tonight.
Kevin, and if you could take control of the ball in this game of soccer, what would you do?
Well, I would just file, like, 10 million lawsuits, basically.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
Because yeah, that's, I mean, these people in power are like the hospital and like, God, what was I going to say? Just basically, if you can't get help from one person, just go hire and just file a bunch of reports and complaints. I don't know.
Yeah, search and search and search until you can find somebody who'll actually help you. Because the problem is you are stuck in the system because you're part, you need the medical system for emergencies and things like that, it seems. Have you looked into getting a Western doctor that's also qualified in alternative and or in holistic medicine yet? No. You were thinking about doing that last time I spoke to you. See, that's what happens, isn't it? We just get so overwhelmed with everything.
Well, and also, as I remain in a database, that was one of the complaints, was that I'm bringing my son to the doctor when there's nothing wrong with him. So it's just...
Yeah, well, he's got a big old scar on his chest about, what, 10 inches long because there's nothing wrong with him?
That's living in the past a little bit, isn't it? I mean, they know there's something wrong with him now, don't they?
No, they're still denying it, Jill.
Jill, May 11th, my son went to the ER. The ER, and I'm glad I can say this, because I feel like it can protect me. In the Tacoma, Washington ER, they told me to call his cardiologist to make a follow-up care. I called, left a message, no one returned. I called again. Three calls in all, three messages in all, I left with his cardiologist. To this day, they still haven't returned my call.
That was on Mother's Day, Joe.
And so on one hand, the Tacoma ER writes in the medical records, mom is to contact the cardiologist for follow-up care. Well, I have three times. But the thing is, what can I do to make them answer the phone or to call us? So I did schedule an appointment. The first opening is not until June. So I am concerned about, you know, the effects that can happen. But, I mean, that's not too huge of a concern. But it's just more or less that, you know, if you're told to call your cardiologist and you do, the question is, you know, when's your cardiologist going to return your call? Last time we saw the cardiologist was February.
And yeah, I don't know how
you go to the ER, you know, if they're not making themselves available.
All right. Well, I don't know how you're going to take control of the ball, Ann, but
yeah, we need to get him into his cardiologist somehow. Maybe we can all put our heads together and do that after the show, Joe. Ann, I'm sorry, but I need to go ahead and wrap up here.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
If you return everything to the sender, you can go into the so-called court and say you had no due process and that you weren't notified of the foreclosure hearing and look after your house.
Well, there isn't a hearing yet. There isn't a foreclosure hearing scheduled yet.
So she's not on notice for a foreclosure hearing yet?
Not yet. No, she's just been notified that it's going to be sent to foreclosure.
Yeah, we'll keep. You have to return that letter, the very letter that you sent back to them again. And I'd do a video of yourself doing that.
No, I would make the check smaller this time, man. Don't send half the mortgage. Send them $100.
Well, you can't choose that because the way
you can choose what you have.
Stop. Sorry, Stephen, but the way you calculate the amount you send them has to be not, oh, I'll just send them $100. It has to be on, I've paid for all my necessities. I needed the money for all of these necessities, and I will send you every other cent I have after that.
Yes, and she has to sit down and figure all that out.
Yeah, so you can't make it. You can't just give advice. Just send them $100. You have, you know, maybe she has to send them $108.12. You know, because that might be what she has, or $92, or $300. You know.
But thank you again, Ann and Kevin and Jillian, for all coming on and revising the story. I'm going to make this into a video, and I'm going to have it see if I can get it placed onto the article. And it's probably going to be tomorrow when that happens, though. But we can distribute it out again and again and again everywhere we can.
Thank you, Stephen. I sent a letter to each of the 49 Washington state senators and governor at least 4 times, certified mail, over a year and a half, at least 4 months apart. So
yeah.
I really appreciate you allowing our voice to be heard, and I feel the only way.
Well, I can burn these videos into DVDs and send them in letters that way too. We can do that too. So,
the 49 senators, that'd be great, because right now I'm getting blocked from them. Can no longer.
I know from the emails. That's why we got to send them through the old regular snail mail.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming on.
Thank you, Jillian. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Stephen. Oh, goodbye, gorgeous. You, Kevin, too.
I'm sorry?
Thank you, gorgeous Kevin. Oh. It's Kevin, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, gorgeous Kevin. See you.
Bye.
All right. Have a good night over there. All right, Jill. I'm going to sign off here.
Good night, Stephen.
All right. See you. Well, I'll be talking to you here pretty soon, or we can just stay online or whatever. But all right, everyone. I'll see everyone Friday night. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel a Cabal. Good night, everyone.